Matthew 6, we're going to start reading at verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, as your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. And if you would like, we could say this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thank you.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Can you believe the year's almost gone already? Where's it gone? Seems like every year has gone by faster and faster. I was asked by the pastor to do the sermon for today. I took and prayed about what I should preach about, because it's God's word, right? It's His. And the glory goes to Him. I kept trying to think, what can I do? It's going to be the last Sabbath of the year and the new year coming in. How do we end the one year and begin another and look forward for what's going to be in the next year? But every time I'm thinking about that and everything, it kept impressing me about prayer. So that's what the sermon's about today. We are so blessed to have so many people in our church and in our churches that love to pray. We have two prayer chains in our church here. There's one that is for the local prayers, and then there's one that is for our national prayer chain that Mike Mallison has been running. And the people clear across the nation pray for one another. We all need prayers. For us, Rhonda and I and our family, We're blessed, and we believe in prayer. It says, each of our five children were dedicated to God when they were little. Each time one came along, we dedicated them to God, gave them to Him. God took care of them and kept them safe from being hurt. I can remember many times watching Pamela. She loved to climb the little fir trees and then swing in the trees. And then it's like, Lord, please help her not to fall out. Because you hear so many different people's kids falling out of trees and breaking their arm or their leg and stuff. God took care of her. She never did fall out of the trees, neither did my sons when they were climbing trees. I count that as a blessing. God kept all five of our children under His wing. Most children, it seems, have different accidents during their life, their childhood, but ours never did. I believe that that was an answer to prayer. Having our three youngest children being in the service and overseas in a war zone, we prayed. And not just us, but a lot of other people. God took care of them there too. He brought them back home safely. It was all of the prayers that were going up to God on their behalf. I know that our church school was praying for them, even the children. The people in our church, our families, of course, Rhonda and I were praying, and their siblings were praying, and there was other churches that were praying, and there was all of you folks and your friends praying for them. And I can never tell you how grateful we were for that. What does the Bible teach us about prayer? How are we to pray? Does prayer really matter? When should we pray? And when we do, what are we to pray about? Can anything hinder our prayers? Can someone else pray for us, or we pray for someone else? These are some of the questions that a lot of people have. Prayer is communication with God. He hears our prayers when we pray. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. In Matthew 6, 5 to 15, it says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It says, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. There is the point there that answers one of the questions, isn't it? There is something that can hinder our prayers. We have to be forgiving too, don't we? We need the love of Christ in our hearts. If we're not willing to forgive, God cannot forgive us. In the prayer, it covers several different things. It talks about God's kingdom and what is done there. It's also done in earth. What's done here in earth, the forgiveness, is done in heaven. Give us our daily bread, our food. Everything we have is God's, isn't it? Everything we have belongs to God, and He blesses us with what He gives us. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. That's probably one of the prayers that most of us remember a lot out of the Bible growing up as children. We're taught the prayer. It's interesting that when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, this is what he said. So it's important for us to learn too, isn't it? But it's not the only way we can pray. There's many others. He has promised to take care of our needs when we put him first in our lives. The Holy Spirit takes the words we say and gives God the words that are needed to express what we are trying to say. Sometimes we just can't think of how to word something, but the Holy Spirit makes the groans and the words that God the Father needs to hear. Isn't that wonderful? So you see, we don't need to take and be afraid of talking to Him. We can express what we are feeling and be able to know that the right words are getting to God because the Holy Spirit is speaking to Him for us. It doesn't matter if we are on our knees or driving down the road. We can still think our prayers and thanksgivings to God just by our thoughts. Some people seem to have trouble praying. Well, you got to close your eyes and fold your hands and kneel to pray. That's not so, is it? We can pray out loud, but we can pray in our thoughts and our minds, can't we? Just think the words and the praises and thank God. It's still communion with Him, communicating. There are times that it is good to pray out loud. The Bible has several of them that people prayed out loud. But it's also full of promises and examples of prayers for us to learn from. And not all of them are out loud. The scriptures are full of messages for us. They admonish us to pray without ceasing. Does this not mean that we are to spend all our time on our knees in formal prayer? It does not mean. It does mean that we must live and serve our Lord in an atmosphere of prayer. A little difference there, huh? We have the responsibility for that. Prayer is the channel of communication between our souls and God. God speaks to us through His Word. We respond to Him through our prayers, and He always listens to us. We cannot worry or burden God with our heart-to-heart communications. We have come to a serious time in our world today. Events in our world call upon every follower of Christ to totally be earnest in our relationship with God. To strengthen this relationship and satisfy our emotional and spiritual needs, we must learn the power of prayer. It is through prayer that we gain the strength through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be more and more like Jesus, isn't it? And He gives us the strength. We must plead with our Lord like the disciples of old, saying, Lord, teach us to pray. God is willing and ready to hear and to respond to our heartfelt prayers under all circumstances. It is profoundly reassuring. Our God is a loving Father who is interested both when things are going well and when things in life are dealing us with devastating, tough, and terrible blows. When we feel like crying out, God, where are you? Have any of you felt that way before? At times when everything seems to be rock bottom? But God is there, isn't He? Just a prayer away. He's there watching over us, listening to us. Sometimes I think He's just wishing, when are they going to ask for help? It is good to know that He is just a prayer away. One writer has said, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. It is also true of the church. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. God will do things for us when we pray that He will not do if we do not pray. We need to acknowledge that we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but this can only be accomplished as we pray individually and collectively. When God's people pray earnestly, sincerely, individually, and collectively, God will answer. Great things will happen in and among God's people. That's a promise. The world will feel the impact as the Holy Spirit comes to equip and empower His people. Our Heavenly Father waits to bestow upon us the fullness of His blessing. It is our privilege to drink largely at the fountain of boundless love. What wonder it is that we pray so little. Ever think about that sometimes? We get so busy wrapped up in our lives that we don't take time for God. We don't talk to Him. God is ready and willing to hear the sincere prayers of the humblest of His children. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse where there are treasured and boundless resources of omnipotence? God is waiting to hear from you. And Isaiah tells us that one of the names for God's church is House of Prayer. When I was down in Mexico, this is what some of the churches looked like. No glass in the windows, just sometimes decorative brick and stuff. I was down in southern Mexico. Just the humblest buildings people lived in, but the church was too. But it was a house of prayer, wasn't it? God's church is a house of prayer. We need to remember that our church is also a place where God's Spirit lives, besides within us. We need to be respectful of all that is done in and around the church. It is God's house, and we need to remember that and treat it as if He were here in person. In the book of Psalms, there are many prayers that David prayed to God, and they were put into songs. They're really neat, isn't it? Showing His love for us. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it tells us that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God is wanting us to spend time coming to Him, doesn't He? He wants us to pray and watch and be ready. In Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12, it says, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if he has a son that asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the prophets and the laws. God tells us to ask. In doing so, we are communicating with God our needs or the needs of others. We are to ask. We are also told to seek God, his knowledge, and his wisdom. When we seek knowledge in the Word of God, which is the Bible, we are getting to know God better. In learning of God through his Word, we are letting him into our lives. We are to knock, it says. We are to knock on the door of God's throne. And in knocking, we are taking our thoughts and coming to God for his help. Or we're just praising him for all that he's done. We take that, and in return, we are to open the door when Jesus knocks. In Revelation 3:20 and 21, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." There are times when we are to pray long hours at a time and seek to overcome the temptations or trials that the devil is throwing our way. There are times that Jesus prayed all night long just to be able to make it through the next day. Jesus was tempted by the devil more than we will ever be. An example of long praying time for big problems is in Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41. "Then Jesus returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.'" How many of you have tried to pray for a long period of time? I know some have do a whole night prayer thing. I have tried a few times, I confess, but the next thing I know, I'm waking up in the morning. I don't last very long, but I'm thankful for those that can do that, because we need that at times for praying for things God asks us to take and put forth real effort, doesn't it? We have a lot of examples on how to pray. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells several different parables to the disciples. It says in the first one that Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. It was the one about the persistent widow and the unjust judge. She kept pestering him, and finally, he found in his heart to give her justice, didn't he? She didn't give up, and that's an example for us. We shouldn't give up on our prayers. Just because we don't get the answer the first time, Jesus wants us to continually ask and believe in what we are asking him. In doing so, we show our faith in him, and he will be our Savior and Lord. Sometimes our prayers are answered in a different way than we expect, and sometimes he says no. Sometimes we wonder if our prayers are being answered, but we're really not looking at the answer except for the way we think it ought to be answered, right? But he answers every prayer. It's just sometimes not the way we think it should be answered, or he says no in his wisdom. He knows what is best for us. In John 17, Jesus is recorded as praying. He first prayed for himself, Then he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for all believers. Read John 17 every now and then to remember some of the ways we are to pray. It helps us to learn how to pray like Jesus did. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, Paul talks about the armor of God. And verses 18 to 20 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray also for me, Paul says, that wherever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. He still believed in prayer, didn't he? And he was in chains in Rome. He didn't give up, and he didn't want his churches to give up. He wanted them to have the armor of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 tells us to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I found this picture. It made me think of one of my granddaughters. It looked a lot like her. Joyful. That's how we're to be, isn't it? Not sad-faced, but joyful when we come to God, praying all sorts of prayers and being thankful and praising Him. For we can look around when things are down and we can see people a lot worse off than us, can't we? And we have so much to be thankful for. There are a lot of verses in the Bible that tell us about prayers of different people, and it also talks about the prayers that were answered. The Bible is all about Jesus and His love for us. It has recorded the different prayers for us to study so we can learn how we should pray. We also have the answered prayers of those that prayed so that we can learn from them also. And on Daniel, there was a lot of prayers, right? And we've seen how a lot of them were answered. Some of them at the time weren't answered. Then there was David, and we've seen his prayers. In my own life, I know of several prayers that have been answered. The one that is the most amazing was when my oldest sister was in high school. She was a senior, and she got sick just before Christmas. I was finishing up the eighth grade out at North Pole. The folks had moved into Fairbanks in the first part of the month, and I stayed with a friend in North Pole to finish out the eighth grade to Christmas break. My sister ended up having to go to the hospital and was dead three times that night, pronounced dead, gone. The last time, the rigor mortis, everything blew, they said, she's done. One of the nuns asked my folks if they'd like to go down to chapel and pray. My dad said yes, which completely bewildered my mom, and she was surprised, like, what? Okay, yeah, I didn't expect that. And the nun took them downstairs to the main level, opened up the big double doors to the chapel, the Catholic hospital, and the only light in there was the candles burning down in front. But when they got in, she shut the doors behind them. They knelt down right there to pray. They closed their eyes, and when they did, there was such a bright light, they were afraid to open their eyes. And they heard a voice said, I'll give her back to you this time. And the light was gone. They got up, went back upstairs to the third floor, walked into the room, and my sister was sitting up in bed, talking to the nurse as if nothing had ever happened. The nurse didn't know what to do. The doctor on call that night was an atheist. He became a Christian. He was also an alcoholic. He quit drinking that night. The next Sunday, first church he came to, he became involved in and became very active in that church until the day he died. God has reasons for things. That was a prayer that was answered. My sister to this day is alive and well, taking care of her mother. Most of us can think back and remember ways that God has kept us and how He has answered our prayers. So in this new year that is almost here, come two more days, Let us dedicate our lives to God again and daily take everything to Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come to you in prayer. Thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon each one of us, for all the answered prayers, even when you said no. We thank you, dear Lord, and give you honor and glory that you deserve. For it is only through Jesus that we can come to you, and we thank you for what he has done for us to purchase us back from sin. Strengthen us and guide us, Lord. Use us as tools in your hands for the salvation of others. And thank you for all that you do and all that you're going to do. For we pray in Jesus' most loving name. Thank you. Amen.